This is Digital Story Podcast number 814, October 26, 2021. Today's theme is Inside a Live Photo Critique. I'm Derek Story. Have you ever wondered what actually goes on when a bunch of photographers critique the work of their peers? This week, you'll have that chance. I'm going to share a conversation from our recent class presentation for the Infrared Photography Workshop. Plus, I'm going to talk about Instagram and my favorite iPhone accessory. All of that and more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. Well, welcome to the Southern California in the ID4 nimble setup recording studio for the TDS Photography Podcast. Yes, I am recording this show inside the VW ID4, and it is a rainy day, but not too hard right now in Southern California. I'm at my mom's house, kind of watching over her. We're taking turns right now, and I'm recording this podcast. So this is a pretty cool setup. In fact, I'm going to take a picture of this setup. I might put it on Facebook or something just because I think you'll get a kick out of it. Anyway, lots of fun stuff today. So we're going to start out with playing a segment from our class presentation, from our infrared photography class that just concluded, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that. And it's really fun because, you know, the way that these things work is that the class participants, they work on their photo assignments over the course of a month. We have weekly classes, meetings, that tutorials and compare notes and all that kind of stuff. And then this all leads up to them turning in their class assignments right before we do a big presentation, usually on a Saturday. And the presentation goes like this. Each class member has about 6 photos to share, and they talk about their photos and what they're trying to do and how it turned out. I usually comment on the photos afterwards, or on a photo. We go photo by photo. And then after that, the other class members chime in as well. What's neat about this is that we've already been working together for a month, so everyone is pretty comfortable with each other, and the conversation flows very easily. It's not like, okay, this is the first day, you just met this person, he's showing you some pictures, and now you're going to comment on them, not really knowing anything about the photographer or the setup or anything. We've been working together for a month, and you can really hear that when you listen to this conversation. So I thought you might enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot, and I want to share that with you. And this is just a 15-minute snippet from what was basically a 3.5-hour session with all of us from the photography, infrared photography workshop. So we'll do that, and then we'll get into a few other goodies that I have as well for you. So lots today from the VW ID4 electric vehicle parked somewhere in Southern California. I have a little tray set up on the steering wheel. I have my iPad with the show notes. I have a Zoom HD recorder, and I am watching the world go by as I talk into the mic, and I'm sure the world's wondering, what the heck is that guy doing? All right, let's turn it over to our photography workshop. And we're going to lead off with Jeff, and then we have a bunch of other folks that are going to chime in. This is a fun conversation. I hope you enjoy it.
So here we go.
Yeah, so I sent Derek like 400 pictures, and he picked the ones. So I mean...
Let's go, man, what are you doing to me?
Nah, so I sent... one of the things we talked about is there's what I liked about this is it gave me something new to play with, but also it gave me a focus of things to go towards instead of just, you know, you're shooting. It's like, what do you got? I mean, if you're out walking around, like, you know, I don't have the opportunity to get out all the time. But now that it's in the middle of the day, I can take, you know, a half hour walk at lunchtime and get some stuff out while I'm working, which is makes it really fun to get out there. So Last, and one of the challenges I've had a lot of the times I was out, hey, I'm going to go out and shoot this weekend. It was cloudy. hence this shot here. I mean, this is what, you know, my wife and I went out to a place called World's End. It's on the south of Austin, and found, you know, this bridge. And here's this is obviously the you know, the visible spectrum shot that we had. And it's just, you know, nothing fancy here, nothing spectacular, but it was just an interesting leading line with some foliage in the background. Would have been nice if there was some clouds and blue sky, but that didn't happen that day. I didn't really, you know, when I was out walking, I had the dog, and you don't always have the chance to take everything you want to when you do all that stuff. So yeah. I guess I'm not as nimble as I'd like to be.
This is actually a pleasing shot though, Jeff.
Yeah, no, yep.
I like it. It's got, I like the leading line. I like, you got that little bit of orange going over here. Got a little bit of a person there. And the way you did the path with the bridge, it's actually quite a nice shot.
Yeah, actually, the person in the background and the dog, and that's my wife and one of our dogs in the back there. So
okay, all right, good. So you want to look at the IR version now?
Yep. So I tried a bunch of different things. And these are, you know, so this is the IR version. This is the 720 nanometer. So not a lot of color, but there's enough color in to make it pleasing. This, I tried this black and white as well. Didn't do anything for me. It looks better this way because there's, you do get some color that, you know, not a lot, but enough to make it somewhat interesting to me, in my opinion. And also because there wasn't any clouds and blue sky, the black, you know, I shot this one and I framed it this way versus getting more sky, but with the clouds, you don't get that contrast you like, but you still get some color up there.
Yeah, you know, I'm really becoming a fan of 720 color. You know, the more subtle palette. In fact, see my T-shirt.
Yep, I was wondering what your twin years was. Yeah,
and because this color palette's really starting to grow on me because it's so easy on the eyes, don't you think?
Right. Yep. And then contrast, this, you know, the next one you got, which is the same, you know, the same location, different spot on the trails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the 720 or 590. You know, more color range.
Right.
But again, there's no sky to get in this stuff. Those are coming. But it was just nice. Again, it was a nice, you know, the pleasing, the trail with the canopy of the trees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when doing it with the 590, I've got the white versus the pink.
Yeah. So, you know, this is interesting to me, and I'll open it up in just a second here. This is more what I would call an IR shot, right? When you know, especially someone that isn't in our workshop would look at it, they go, oh, that must be infrared or something weird.
Somebody who's not in the workshop is saying, you know, oh, that's a nice wintertime shot. You got snow on the ground. And
yeah, right. You need to work on your white balance a little bit, buddy.
right.
This one, though, this one to me feels like, and I, you know, like when we used to do Polaroid transfers and things like that, where you just kind of got, you know, a little bit of a different sort of artistic look. And, you know, this to me falls more into that category. If I wasn't in IR and I looked at the shot, I would ask the question, you know, what technique is that? How did you get that kind of pastel look?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it does kind of look more old timey when you do it this way.
Yeah. Let's open it up. Let's, anyone have any comments on this trio right here, really?
Well, I do. I'd like to know how you process both of those, Jeff, especially the 720, because when I tried my 720, I didn't get any color. I didn't get any mixed colors. Yep. I just got, I could only get it to do light and dark of one color. So it might be in the it might be in the way that I took the picture. So.
Yeah. So I've because of the, some of the things you can do. I've got On-One Photo Raw as well as Capture One. I actually did all these in On-One Photo Raw because it has the effects built into it. I did a little bit of development. I did a little bit of color and tone, the effects, and doing the channel mixer.
Does most of your color come on the 720? Does most of your color come from playing in the channel mixer, just going back and forth with that, or?
Yes. Just doing the IR swap, the red blue channel swap, and that's the primary mode. And there's not a lot. I didn't change. It's 100 red, 100 blue on those two swaps, and that was it.
Wow. Okay. So, and are you shooting with a non-converted camera or a converted camera?
No, I've got a full spectrum conversion.
Okay.
So it's a Fuji XT20.
So, Jeff, this is with a 720 filter on there?
This is a 720, yep.
It's amazing the amount of color you got out of that.
Yeah, I was gonna say I really like the color palette. I think the pink and the gray, you got the blue sky perfect. The composition is good. You have the perspective, you have the road winding down.
On the other hand, with the yellow sky, I mean, this is what I mean by IR, just you never know. I mean, it's kind of a unique look, you know, instead of the teal pink or the white blue kind of thing. This is a yellow whitish. Yeah, I mean, this is to me is this is what I love about it. You know, this is I've never seen an IR picture like this, you know, and this is a whole new
But
thing, you know.
it's not wrong. It's just aesthetics.
No, I know. I like the yellow. I've never seen the yellow sky. I mean, that looks pretty, you know, looks like a sci-fi thing, but that's.
I agree. I really like the contrast with the previous shot as well, because you've got the blue there, but here you've got the yellow, and
Yeah,
it's really, really.
I've never been able to do. So this to me, I love this picture. I don't even see the wife in the first picture, but this picture right here with the two people there, and it takes the ordinary picture, the visible, and changes it to me into an extraordinary picture. To me, this picture is just really nice. The composition, the people, the color palette you chose. I mean, it just shows that in the middle of the day, you can take a visible light picture that's blah. Well, not blah, but you know what I mean. That's like, okay, that's all right. Good composition, but sure would look better at sunrise or sunset. You know what I mean? To something that's extraordinary. And with I think with the two people in there, it makes the whole picture, you know?
The thing I like about this one with the two people in is one of my first thoughts was, isn't it amazing how they managed to get outfits that match the
Yeah,
surrounding
right.
countryside? And it's just such a weird thing to see. It's lovely. It's really,
It's a
really
lovely
nice.
picture. Yeah, I noticed that. You know, I noticed, Jeff, that it looks like it looks like, you know, I wasn't sure if this was a 665 effect, but if you look at like the wood, you can see both teal and pink in there. And so and the rocks too. So it's very difficult to sort of balance that out to get those neutrals because they affect so much of the other. So it seems like to me that this might just be typical for IR in that some of these quote unquote neutral colors tend to sort of both the pinks and the blues, the two different the two colors you're trying to get separation with seem to bleed into to the neutral colors. And I don't know if that's a common thing with IR or not. I don't know if everybody has that sort of same thing, you
Well,
know?
you know, it's interesting you bring that up, Harry, because, you know, on these sort of shots, I've actually gone to the trouble to try to get the blue out of the neutrals, you know, get a neutral. And then I do it, and then I look at it and I don't like it as much. And I go, why did I do that? Because that weird kind of blue sometimes sort of plays with those weird kind of pinks, and it, you know, it works. So it's funny. I have gone to a lot of work to neutralize some of those tones and then didn't like it afterwards. Sometimes I do. But you know.
And sometimes you just want to tone down a little bit, but if you try to play with it in a global sense, you can't because then the sky comes down. So it's a difficulty I ran across over and over and over again, and it looks like that's just more. I thought maybe it was a 665 thing, you know, but it looks like maybe it's just you know, it looks like the neutrals, both colors bleed into the neutrals, you know, which is kind of interesting, you know. But I love this picture. It'd be nice to crop just a little, maybe 16:9 format, man. I think this would make a great picture.
Yeah, I was trying to crop the two pictures, you know, the visible and this one at the same,
Yeah,
and
no, I had to do the same thing, but I really like the picture, and I love how different it looks from the visible. That's why I don't think I'll ever go out without my IR camera anymore. You know what I mean? Because it's like, God, the light just, no, wait a minute, I got my IR in the back seat, you know?
I think, Harold, I think also in the third one, I also think I tried to process it a little. You know, I could have done the same thing as this one on the third one, where, but I think I was trying to remember. I think I purposely tried to do it a little differently just to see what it would look like.
I'd be shocked if you could even go back and repeat this. You know what I mean? I've never seen that before. If you can, let me know how you did it, because I'd love to like play with this color palette, Jeff.
Let me see if I can. As we go through, I'll see if I can pull up, you know, where I'm at here, and I can
Yeah,
get you
but that
that
yellow
space.
sky is very cool. I like that.
Hey, I want to go back to Bev for a second. Hey, Bev, did you get any clues on this one to help you?
Well, I may have just been processing it too much. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I did on my 720 is I converted it to black and white after I did the channel mixer. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that maybe I shouldn't do that step. I should try to bring out more of the color rather than converting it to black and white.
You know, that is such a great point. So I used to do the same thing. I used to automatically think black and mm-hmm. white with a 720. I go, I'm shooting 720, it's going to be black and white. And it wasn't until I started doing these workshops and some of these people started pulling color out of this, I go, wait a minute, maybe I need to hang out with the color a little bit first. And then if I don't get what I want, then go to black and white. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's what I'll try too.
Yeah. And because a lot of times it is just sitting right here. Now, I will say I usually have to do two passes on the channel mixer to start to get to this place with a 720. Okay. So, you know, Jeffrey's got the magic touch on his. But I usually have to go back and forth a couple times, and then you start to pull it out, you know, and your sliders may not be 100, 0, 0, 100. They may be, you know, something completely different. But it's funny how much color is living in these shots, and not every shot, but some shots. It's crazy.
I'm the same as Bev. I've been sort of processing and then going straight to black and white.
Yeah.
And I did get quite a lot of color out of some of my R72 shots. I got almost extreme color. Mm-hmm. And what I should have done is I should have taken more time to just pull that back a little bit and then maybe see if I can get something like this, because I didn't. So I'm going to go back and revisit some of my shots now and see if I can I can go more towards this sort of, because this is lovely.
And we're only on the first person here.
My 20 was with our black and white workshop, Derek, and you know I couldn't get much color out of that at all, and so that's one reason I went to the 665 conversion, because I thought that was more the middle where I could go either way. You know what I mean? Right. But it looks like if you had a fully spectrum 720, that you have that option also. You know,
you do a lot, Larry. Yeah. You were going to say something.
Yeah, I'm a fan of this photo. I really like the kind of pastel quality, and I've used the 72 filter and gotten a little color out of it, mm-hmm. although it's not my favorite way to go. But I think putting the figures in it, I really like that whole idea, because it gives scale and perspective to what is just a very nice photo. But it adds a little bit of an element and puts some scale in it, which I really like. The problem, however, and maybe it's an IR problem, is what we heard before, is the people aren't differentiated anyway from any of the other elements in the photo, and it kind of makes them a bit extraneous. But I think maybe that's just an issue with IR. But I do like this photo, and I like the feel, the overall feel of it, and the pastel quality. And I do like the figures there, so I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, the colors in On One, I discovered something that when you go to the channel mixer, it also has a black and white option in there, and I clicked on it, and then you can start backing off the colors, and they start to come back. And I thought that was an interesting way to look at the colors.
Yeah.
And so, for Bev's comment there, that came to my mind.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yep. We got to move on. You know, Jeffrey's getting way too much attention here. We got to.
All right. Thank you to all of our workshop participants, not only for the great work you did during the workshop, but also for letting me share this little bit of your world with the rest of our photography community. Instagram now allows photo uploads from the desktop. So we have been waiting for this for how long? Forever, right? Most of us, forever. And now it's here. So what you can do, and what I did, I actually ran through my photo that's on Instagram right now came from my Mac desktop, my PowerBook that I have here on the road. But now when you pull up your Instagram site on your laptop using Chrome or Safari, whatever you happen to use, once you log in, you'll see that you get a little plus sign up there in the toolbar, a little plus icon. If you click on that icon, it allows you to add a photo from your computer to your Instagram feed. So I wanted to see how this worked. I mean, is it just like adding a photo and it goes up as is, or what exactly happens? Well, I was pleasantly surprised with what exactly happened, because there were a number of steps along the way that allowed me to configure my photo a bit, just like I can. Not with as much functionality, but it was pretty nice, like if I do it from my iPhone. So the first step is you get to choose some cropping. So you can do the square, you know, the traditional Instagram square, but you also could do 16:9. You could do 4:3 vertical. You could do 3:2 horizontal. Or you could, you know, just pick one of those and then zoom in and kind of fill up the frame as you wish. So it had some very nice cropping tools. I was pleasantly surprised about that. The next step allows you to apply some filters, and most of my favorite filters were there. I don't think all of the filters were there. It didn't feel like all the filters were there. I could be wrong about that, but definitely most of my favorite filters were there. And then also you had some adjustments. Now I know for a fact that all the adjustments were not there, but the ones that you really need were there. You can crop, you can add an Instagram filter, you can do adjustments, and then you can add metadata. So you can add a description, you can add the location, you can even add a tag for the photo so that even if the photo doesn't show, that its metadata will. I mean, the metadata that you add, you know, whatever description that you add. And then you publish it. And when you publish it, it goes boom right on to your Instagram feed, just like any other photo would. So I thought, okay, this is pretty neat. I'm very happy about this. And, you know, the photo that I published is actually from this road trip where I drove the electric vehicle all the way from Northern California, Southern California to see my mom. And I published a night shot of me charging it at Electrify America charging station, which has that nice kind of, you know, glow to it. You know, Electrify America, they have these cool green glowing stations, and you know, there was a little wet out. There had been some moisture in the air. Anyway, so that shot was from this process. And then that shot was also from this trip. So I just tie everything together. But those of you that use Instagram, I thought you would appreciate knowing that this workflow that they built into it using the web browser works really well, and it's greatly appreciated. The Moment Multi-Threaded Mount, my favorite iPhone accessory ever. I think that's true. I do. Now, I know that I sometimes become infatuated with things, and so suddenly, because it's the latest and I'm using it, it becomes my favorite. But I think this really is my favorite. And the reason why, what this is, for those of you that have iPhone 12 or iPhone 13 now, that have the MagSafe, you know, magnet on the back, or the allows the MagSafe magnet on the back. There's all sorts of cool things. You can put chargers on there. You know, there's like a million things are cropping up. What Moment came up with, the company Moment, they came up with a mount that goes on the back. It's this beautiful machined black disc. It looks like a slim hockey puck. And it has threads in it, female threads for both sizes of tripods. And so suddenly you can mount the iPhone to anything that has any sort of tripod socket, male tripod socket. And it works fantastic, and it's unobtrusive. It just, you know, goes on the back with a magnet. It comes off the back with a magnet. You don't have to do any clamps. You don't have to worry about, you know, something, you know, falling off or being weird. It just works and it looks cool. And now you can use the iPhone for all those things that you might want to put a camera on a tripod for. So for time-lapse photography, for interviews, for very long night shots. I know it has a night mode already, but you know, if you really want to do something crazy, yes, you can put it on a tripod. You can put accessories on it. So this has a tripod mount on the back, so you put maybe a little magic arm up and put a microphone there or something like that. It is really nice. It's unobtrusive. It's easy to carry in your pocket or in your bag. It doesn't hardly take up any space at all. And suddenly, you can mount your MagSafe iPhone to just about anything. I just thought it was terrific. It's $39. However, I found a deal for $29, and I put that link in the show notes. So you can get it cheaper than I did. I had to pay $39 for mine, and then I found the deal. Of course, isn't that the way it works? But I found the deal, so I put the link in the show notes. Take a look at it. See what you think. Like I said, if you are serious about iPhone photography, I think you're going to dig this thing. All right, let's do a little virtual camera club news. First of all, I want to give a big thanks to our Patreon members. I really appreciate everything. I appreciate your patience right now because we were going to have a gathering of the clans last Saturday. I posted on the Patreon site, on the Inner Circle site, and everyone got an email that I had to cancel that or postpone it because I had to make this trip down south to help my mom out. There are three of us siblings. And we take turns when she needs a little extra help around the house. And, you know, it was my turn. And so I gladly kind of reshuffled the deck and made the trip down here to take care of her. And, of course, you know, that's an honor, right? I'm really lucky that I get to spend this time with her. And I really enjoy her company. And it's fun to cook for her and do some of that stuff. And she's getting stronger every day. And that makes me feel better, too. But we had to move gathering that we had planned to a date in the future, and it was kind of last minute, as these things are sometimes. So thank you, Inner Circle members, for your patience. I truly appreciate it. We'll get that new gathering of the clans scheduled once I get back to Northern California. And in the meantime, I just so appreciate your support for this community and this podcast. It means a lot to me. And finally, I want to give a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, the folks that put the joy in printing, at least for me. And it's not just because they have fantastic papers, not just because they're a joy to work with, not because they have all this information on their site or that I can get everything that I need from them. It's just because they help me stay excited about printing. And then every time I actually produce a print, I go, I'm so glad I did that. You know, there's a saying in the world of writing, which is, I love to have written, which means that we don't really enjoy writing that much sometimes, but we really like having that finished piece done, and then we can share it with the world and do whatever we're going to do with it. Well, printing's kind of like that too. There are days where I don't want to, you know, get everything set up to do a print job, but once I'm done with it and once I actually have the prints in my hand, I'm so happy that I have the ability to do this and that I'm able to share those prints with the world. And Red River Paper helps me move from, oh, do I want to print today, to, oh, I'm so glad I can print. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. They have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of digital story. And I'm just thrilled to have them as part of our community. All right, it's going to do it for me today. I hope you enjoyed the show from the VW ID4 parked somewhere in Southern California. I'll be back next week, hopefully in the studio. Until then, have a great week. Be creative. Don't let anything stop you. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.